It's the top of the hour, and you're listening to Take the Stand, where local activists join me to talk about their organization and what they stand for. I'm your host, Brian Rojas. If you haven't been living under a rock for the past couple of years, you've noticed that it seems that the number of homeless has gone up instead of going down. And that's where our guest, Wade Trimmer from the San Fernando Rescue Mission, comes in. Thanks for coming in, Wade.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
And you are with the San Fernando Rescue Mission, right?
Yeah, I'm the director. I've been there for almost 5 years at the Rescue Mission.
Can you tell us more about what the San Fernando Rescue Mission does?
Yeah, so we do, we do a lot, but we focus on breaking the cycle of poverty with a couple of different groups. One is families who are experiencing homelessness. We have a 90-bed family shelter in Northridge, and that provides short-term and long-term housing for families who need help getting back on their feet. We also work with the chronically homeless population. We have the city's only mobile shower unit that goes throughout the community and provides showers, case management, employment training for the chronically homeless.
Oh, wow. That's a whole thing to it, right? That's not just housing, but just mobile showers. I didn't even know that was a thing. How does that work?
So we have it's a trailer and a truck, and it's a contained unit. It has a men's shower and a women's shower with that's really comfortable, air conditioning, heating, and it provides a 7-minute shower. So we go throughout the valley. We have our furthest location is west is Woodland Hills, and then we go into Tahunga and have 6 different spots throughout the week that stops at.
All for free?
All for free, yeah. Oh, okay. And then we kind of match that with hot meals so people can come in and get a meal. The goal isn't to just make people more comfortable on the streets, but to actually use that as an opportunity for people to say, hey, I care enough about myself to take care of myself. And then we kind of leverage that and say, hey, what else do you want to take care of? Do you want to talk about your substance abuse issue or your mental health issue or whatever it might be? But it's kind of a labor of love. So instead of saying, hey, if you need a shower, come to us, we're actually going to them, and it breaks down all kinds of barriers.
Let's say I'm in town and I feel like I want to take a refresher. Does that work for me, or is it just
for
homeless?
No, I mean, it's no question, no questions asked. I mean, it's if you need a shower, and we do. We have people in the community who have apartments, and they come for the meal, and it could be a senior who just says, hey, this is actually helping me save money. Because life is tenuous for a lot of people in Los Angeles. So
yeah. You mentioned that you were the director of Rescue Mission, right? So what's your job there? What exactly do you do?
Yeah, so a lot of my time goes to fundraising, and that, you know, we have a budget of about $1.2 million a year. And so we have a really generous community and a great, you know, great support from foundations and individuals. So a lot of my time is spent there. But then it's also developing programs and really having a vision for what we can do for this population and with this population. And I focus on with more than for, because I'm a big believer in partnering with the people that are receiving your services and really letting them inform what's needed out in the community. So a lot of it is, like I said, fundraising, and then also developing new programs and taking us new places. So.
Yeah, so the in the Valley, the San Fernando Valley, you guys are doing your mission with helping the homeless. Do you feel like that's just the San Fernando Valley, or do you feel that LA is doing something about it, like the out, like, you know, downtown? Do you feel that, for example, Skid Row, do you feel like they're doing something to ease that number?
Yeah, I think what you have to realize about homelessness is that it's a situation, and like every situation, something causes the situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have a neck injury, something happened.
Yeah.
So what I think that we're not as a city really great at is understanding what came before the homelessness.
Right.
And often it's mental health issues or addiction issues or both of those. or it's severed relationships in a family. There's all kinds of different reasons that people are homeless. When we understand those reasons, we can start to tackle the problem more effectively. If it's lack of education, if it's whatever it might be, in Skid Row is sadly LA's largest open-air psychiatric, wouldn't even call it a hospital, mm-hmm. but there are more people on Skid Row dealing with severe mental health issues that need to be hospitalized, that need significant services, and those services are often not available to them.
Yeah, they don't have the means, right?
Well, or we don't have the political will mm-hmm. and the accountability, I think, that says, hey, it's not okay that there are however many blocks it is on Skid Row, I don't know, 26 blocks, I think, that there's an entire population of people that are living in substandard conditions and not getting their needs met, who are citizens of this city.
Yeah. Like we were having a conversation before, you were saying that there's a lot of people just out there who, it's not that it's not they're lazy, it's just that they need a certain push. And you were telling me how the San Fernando Rescue Mission not only gives housing, but they give the resources. Like how I told you, you give a man a fish for the day, he eats for the day. You teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. And when you told me that, I was like, you know, there needs to be more stuff like that. Because we just feel like, oh, I'm going to give him food. All right, cool. He eats for that moment. But what about tomorrow? So in your case, you guys are giving them education for the future, not just for now.
Yeah, it's education, connecting our adults to college, or if they need help with their GED, and then helping them connect to college. It's helping them open businesses. We helped a woman last year open a tamale factory. Oh, wow. We help connect the kids to opportunities and to scholarships. And I think the thing that I say about to my team every day is we can take it further. We're not going to give people who are in dire need crumbs. We're going to give them the very best. And if you visit our facility, it's most people walk in and say, this is nicer than my home. Yeah. And I love hearing that because we had HGTV come and decorate. It looks like a beautiful craftsman style home. But people, when they walk in, what we've communicated with space is you're worth it.
Yeah.
You're worth the best. We're not going to give you a cot and a rolled up sleeping bag. I wouldn't want to be treated that way.
Yeah.
And I think we know, like all of us know the golden rule, do unto others as you want done to yourself. And I'm a big believer in that. And I won't be part of any kind of organization that isn't committed to that. And I certainly wouldn't lead an organization that way. So my role at the mission is if my kids wouldn't do well here, then we're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't let my kids stay here, then we have to adjust some things. And even with the food that we serve, if I wouldn't serve it to guests who come into my home, we're not serving it to our guests.
Can you tell us about the menu?
Oh yeah, I mean it's great. I mean it's, and we have a lot of great partnerships in the community. So a lot of restaurants that come in and help serve dinner, but it's always healthy and recognizable. It's not mystery casserole.
Yeah, it's like why is it moving?
Yeah, and you know there's stereotypes like that you see on TV. Or yeah, you see the soup lines and that kind of thing. I believe that we can do better. And when we do better and communicate to people that they're worth something, and that not only that they're worth something, but they're an asset to the community.
Right.
And I think when we change that conversation, people start believing that and kind of fixing their own problems.
Yeah, so you guys help out kids too. That's one of the things that, like, the kids are our future, right? And when a kid, once they start turning, like, let's say, I want to say, like, 7 years old, they're aware of what's going on. They're aware of their situation. How do you think those kids feel when they're in a situation where it's like, okay, I don't have a house. My parents or my mom or my dad, they're trying hard to make ends meet, but it's not there. How do you think they feel when they step into one of your facilities, one of your housing?
Yeah, I think what the kids say is that it feels like a party. It feels like camp, if they've ever been to camp.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I have all these friends here, and we do arts and crafts, and we get tutoring. And I would say for most of the kids, what they would say is, this is the best my life has been.
Yeah.
That the stability we provide, the routine we provide, the resources we provide, that they can go see a counselor, they can go to art therapy, they can go to music classes, they're going to go and get tutoring. They're getting all this support, and they're going, I didn't know that this is actually the way the world could work.
Yeah.
And so it gives them a great reference point. And I think the other thing is that kids are really resilient, and we help parents kind of frame the story for their kids to say, hey, listen, you don't have to tell the kids that you live in a shelter or what this is.
Yeah.
You just live with a bunch of people. You don't have to say, oh, we're homeless. You don't have to put that label on it. Just say, hey, we're having a hard time right now, but we're going to pull together as a family, and all these great people here are here to help us. And I think it plants the seed for these kids later on in life where they say, hey, I'm going to pay it forward. And I think we have, I'm committed to that at the mission that we're developing future leaders at the mission.
Yeah.
That are going to impact the world because their world's been impacted. And I don't know one person on the planet who hasn't been helped in some way.
Yeah. And with kids, they feel when, they don't have all the resources. When they go to school, they see another kid with like the latest iPod and they don't have that. And in a way, they feel kind of, I wouldn't say sad, but they feel bad because other kids, they tell them, oh, you don't have that? Okay, what, you're poor. Get out of here. And the rescue mission, the way I see it, I feel like it's, you're giving kids a certain kind of hope. Like, you're giving them some confidence. It's like, okay, you know what? I may not have that, but I have lots of friends. I live with a lot of people, but it's a family.
Yeah.
I get help if I need. I have a plate. I have food to eat. I could go to classes. So I think that's a really great thing you guys are doing. And let's say a family's not having, they have a home and everything, but the biggest issue is making ends meet. Can you guys help them with food support or something like that?
Yeah, part of our organization is a food bank, and that provides food for a pantry throughout the community. Valley Food Bank is part of our organization, and so we can help them with that. We have programs that can help people with who might be looking at eviction, and help kind of save them from that. There are a lot of things that we can do and be creative with, and even prevent people from becoming homeless. But we know so many people in the community, and we can help people find jobs. We can help people, kind of identify career ladders and give people those sorts of opportunities as well.
Yeah, believe it or not, there's a lot of talent out there. It's not like the way society sees it. They're like, oh, okay, you're a homeless. What do you know? You don't know anything. You're no help here. And I feel like as a society, we're doing something really bad with that. Instead of helping them, we just throw them out there. Like, you know what? Here's my dollar. We don't help them.
Last year, we got a call from this guy who gave me his name and his situation. And he said that he used to be a principal at a high school in the community, and I won't say which high school. And so I looked it up, and that was the guy. I mean, he was a principal of a local high school in the community, and basically had an undiagnosed mental health issue that had just surfaced. And I've met principals. I've met former firefighters who are on the street. I've met nurses. One lady I know who's blind used to teach at CSUN. So we have to get away from this notion that all homeless people are one thing. And we keep on telling, when I say we, I think just average sort of citizens who don't do what I do every day, but kind of tell ourselves the same stories. And then, it's like confirmation bias, or, confirming our bias. And then we look for situations that confirm those biases, and we sort of see somebody who's having a severe mental health you know, issue on the streets and say, well, see, they're all crazy or whatever the case. When the issue, the fact is, everyone has a different story.
Yeah.
Just like your neighbors. I mean, you can't take your neighborhood and say, well, everyone here is like this.
Yeah.
It's the same with this population. So.
Yeah. And you were telling me you guys have an event. Well, not much. Well, it's an event, but it's like an art gallery called One of Us.
Yeah, it's a project we're working on with CSUN with a professor there named David Blumenkrantz. And what we did is we took really close-up photos, kind of portraits of people who were experiencing homelessness. And then we recorded their stories. And what it's turned into is a, kind of a gallery display that is really helping to change the conversation about homelessness in Los Angeles. In fact, if you walk down City Hall into the mayor's office, you'll see some of those portraits and some of those words that are shared. But what you find when you talk to people is that there are all kinds of reasons that they have that they're experiencing homelessness, and I think that we're just trying to get the word out about that.
Yeah, I feel that art gallery you guys are having is really, I think it's needed, because we don't really, like I said, we don't really know these guys. And we think, sorry for putting it in these terms, we see them as like the filth of the earth. It's like, we see them and it's like, okay, you know what? Just stay over there where you are and don't try to come or do anything. Don't look for a job, because we're not going to give you a job.
Yeah.
But these portfolios they have of them, it's like, okay, here's your story. Here's what I did. Here's where things went wrong down the line, mental health, family issues, economic issues, because homelessness isn't just one thing. It's not like because you're lazy.
Right.
It's usually something happened, financially, family, or mental issues. And do you guys, let's say I want to help you guys, like other people who are listening, and they want to, they see the same situation where, okay, I want to help these people, but I just don't know how. Can they volunteer for you guys?
Yeah, so we can. You can visit us online at sferescuemission.org, and volunteer. The thing that everyone can do, the average everyday citizens can do in their daily lives, is to not turn away from homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to give them money. You don't have to give them anything, except to make eye contact with them and acknowledge that they're human beings.
Yeah.
And the more that we do that, the more that we bring people into community. And I'm a big kind of geek for sociology and just studying cultures. And, you know, tribalism is very much alive and well. And the thing about tribalism is that we tend to vilify other tribes of people that aren't like us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of, you know, build walls so that they, you know, we're not threatened by them. And that's why, you know, when we called it One of Us, this project, it was kind of breaking down those walls again and saying, hey, these are people who did grow up with your kids. It's not about not in my backyard. These people may have been in your backyard.
Yeah.
When they were kids, they probably played softball with your kids or Little League or whatever, you know, they played sports. Something happened in their lives that didn't happen in your life, or you had the support that they didn't have. And when we start seeing things that way, I think we start to really humanize people. So looking people in the eye, acknowledging their presence, is something that everybody can do, and it costs nothing.
Yeah.
And it takes a few seconds.
Yeah. And as we were talking earlier, you were saying that just because they're homeless doesn't mean they don't have dignity. Can you tell us about that experience you had with a toothpaste?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm always learning from the people that receive our services. And there was a time where I had, you know, I have a backpack in my car with toothbrushes, toothpaste, and socks and water. And this guy needed toothpaste. And so I pulled out a tube of Crest or whatever it was. And he looked at the ingredients and he said, oh, I can't use this. I only use natural organic toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I was kind of like, you know, what gives? Like, come on. And then as I thought about it that day, I thought, good for that guy for still maintaining his sense of self and dignity and not just taking what was handed to him. And so I actually really respect that kind of approach, and that taught me a lot that day, that what I really needed to do is, instead of assume that people will just take what I give them, that I need to ask them what they want.
Yeah,
and what they need.
People don't really necessarily, they don't really, when, if they ever see themselves in that situation, it's like, okay, wait, I just gave you toothpaste that you needed, and then you're coming at me that you want organic. Like, you're someone that has probably been living in those clothes for who knows how long, and you're a little picky about toothpaste. Some people will say that. They just won't understand. And it's like, okay, hey, just because he's homeless doesn't mean he doesn't have dignity. You have dignity, right? And you live in a house, you have everything. And what difference, the only difference between you and him is that he just doesn't have a home.
Right.
You guys probably like the same things. Probably like the same movies. We're not that different.
Yeah. I did this thing once where somebody asked me to, I speak a lot in public, and it was a group of professionals, and they asked me to speak about homelessness. And this particular group I knew had some views like that, like how, you know, why would people be so picky, and why don't they just take what's given to them? So I brought in a dozen donuts. It was kind of a breakfast time thing. And I put them up on a little stand, and I said, they're donuts here, help yourself. And a couple of people took donuts, and then they were gone. And later I asked, I said, how many people took a donut? They raised their hands. And I said, how many of you already had breakfast this morning and then you took a donut? And all the same people raised their hands.
Yeah.
And I said, what if I told you that you were greedy because you took a donut and you already had breakfast? They're like, oh, that would be mean. And I said, so what's the difference when we kind of flip that around and we judge people? We think, wait, you already have clothing, or you already have, or you can't be picky when it comes to toothpaste, or, but all of you already had breakfast and each of you were picky about which donut you took.
Right.
What's with that? So when we have what we need, we put ourselves in a different class and say, oh, well, I have, now I can be choosy.
It's like double standards, right? It's like, okay, standards. You're over there. All right, just take that and don't ask for more. And then over here, I feel entitled, like, okay, give me four donuts.
Yeah.
Just get, and then like two sandwiches. And it's like, whoa. So you call him greedy for asking for another piece of bread. And you're over here asking for more food. It's like, okay, doesn't that make us greedy as well?
Yeah.
And one of the things you were saying earlier was when a kid came up to you, the kid said, this is the best my life has been. Do you get emotional from that? Because just hearing those words, it warms your heart up. It warms my heart up. It's like, wow, a kid comes up and he tells me, this is the best my life has been because of you. Because, not necessarily because of you, but because of this, of the effort you put in. Does that make you feel, that must make you feel really good.
I guess the thing about this kind of work is that, you know, you're not gonna become a millionaire doing this, nor do I want to be, but what you are going to have is these constant intrinsic rewards where you really feel good about what you're doing. At the same time, you have to be careful, and I'm always aware that you're not using people who are vulnerable to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people kind of set out to do that, where I'm more kind of like, oh, that's cool, that's a great, you know, I'm glad that your life is good. At the same time, it's really messy, and it's really, I mean, just before we started this interview, I got a text from one of my staff members that one of the women that we've been helping quite a bit just tested positive on her drug test, and that means that she's going to have to find a different place to stay. Cool. And those kinds of things break your heart, because you kind of say, hey, I'm giving you every opportunity, and yet all of us do things, every single one of us every day do things against our goals, and say, oh no, I'm, you know, this is my goal, but we might be doing something that actually impedes us reaching our goal. And so I have compassion for that. I'm not, angry, but it just kind of breaks your heart, you know?
Yeah.
And so there are tough situations like that, but yeah, in general, you feel really good about it and go home feeling like, wow, I paid it forward today. It feels good.
And as an individual, can the listener or anybody out there donate?
Oh, absolutely. Through the same website. And there are different opportunities to donate, different ways to donate, everything from clothing to food to cash. So it's all on our website.
Awesome. And are you guys on social media?
We are, yeah. So Instagram, SFE Rescue, Facebook, you can find us there. Twitter, SFE Rescue also. And you can follow us on those places.
Yeah, and your website, I believe, is San Fernando Rescue Mission.
SFVRescueMission.org.
Okay, so if you're listening out there and you want to make a difference, you could always just visit your website. And it's the little things that count. It's a dollar helps, right? A dollar, $2, food, clothing. And thanks for coming in. Like, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an issue. Homeless is such an issue that's going on that we want to help, but we don't really know what to do. And I feel like when we want to help, I feel like we should just come here and just start, like, you know, just help out, volunteer, donate. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. And I'm very, very, like, really glad you came in. When you called me saying, yeah, we're willing to schedule a show, it was like, okay, this is it. You know, I got to capitalize on this. It's such a big issue. It's a very deep issue that I connect with a lot.
Great.
And thanks for coming in. And I wish you lots of luck with your missions and goals. And especially with that event you guys going on, One of Us. And I would like some information on that.
I'll send you some information.
All right, cool. It's at CSUN, right? Is it already out?
We'll be at the Museum of Social Justice soon. And you can follow One of Us on social media as well, One of Us Coalition.
All right, cool.
All right.
So Wade Trimmer and the San Fernando Rescue Mission took the stand. And that has been Take the Stand with Brian Rojas on KPC Radio. Signing out. Until next time.